take the scriptures or your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1 and finishing Revelation. Last Lord's Day, we're going to the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. And we'll read the whole chapter, Matthew 1 verses 1 through 25. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 1, these are the infallible words of God. They do not err, and is perfect in every way. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. And Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abihud, and Abihud begot Eliakim. And Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim. Akim and Akim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And those are God's words concerning, of course, the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we ought to be amazed when we look at the genealogies of Jesus Christ, not only here in Matthew 1, but also in Luke chapter 3. The people mentioned in the genealogy, some are wicked idolaters, some prostitutes, some godly, but also some evil, some adulterers, and so on. We could go on with a list of different types of people that make up the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And of those in Chronicles that we'll hear this evening, recently we've seen those of Ahaz and Hezekiah, and then this evening looking at Manasseh and Amon. This is the genealogy from Abraham to Jesus Christ. Out of such sin and trials and testings of the Lord's faithfulness, in which every time He is proved faithful, to keep His promise even to Adam and Eve in the garden, that He would come, that from the woman would come the seed who would strike the serpent on His head, that is Satan, and defeat him there at the cross. The Lord sent His Son, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, as we see here, and He was sent by the Lord to save His people from their sins. And with that, we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's pray. Father, we give You praise for Your Word. We're thankful for the Gospel of Matthew. We're thankful for the genealogies that we find in Scripture, and especially the genealogy of Your Son, Jesus Christ, as He, being God, became also man and took to Himself, as a divine person, having a divine nature, He took to Himself a human nature. And we are thankful for that, for He is one Redeemer and two distinct natures and one person, one divine person forever. And we give You praise that He humbled Himself, even not only to being born and then laid in a manger, but even to the point of death, death on a cross. We're thankful that He is our Savior. We're thankful that He is not only our Savior in such being a priest, but is our prophet who speaks the Word of God and the fulfillment of that promise in Deuteronomy 18:15. We're thankful that He is also our King, that promise that was given to David and Solomon and all the kings that we've looked at in Chronicles. That He is the King who sits on a forever throne, and He is a forever King. And we are thankful for this, and as He is the fulfillment of all these promises and many more that we see throughout the Scriptures, and many fulfilled here, even as we read at the very end of chapter 1, of the Virgin, of He being born of the Virgin. And we're thankful for this. Father, we're thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit who worked and conceived Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And we're thankful that she is blessed among women. And Father, we're thankful that we can, as the church, exalt in Jesus Christ, that we, no matter who tries to forbid us from doing so, we can exalt in Him and we can proclaim the gospel. We're thankful that You make us instruments to tell the gospel and proclaim the gospel to our neighbors and to one another in the church and to the whole world. We're thankful that the gospel is going forth today to many nations. And we pray for those nations, especially where the gospel, by proclaiming it, many are persecuted. And we think in many countries in Africa and in Asia, like China and North Korea and places like that, even Turkey and Iran. And the church that You are raising up there is astonishing. And we're thankful for them. We ask that You would protect them. But at the and in all of it, we pray that You would protect their souls, as You promise You will do in Psalm 121. We ask that You would watch over them and care for them and watch over us, for we are weak and often so comfortable that we don't care about the gospel of Jesus Christ as much as they do, and how sinful we are in that. We ought to love the gospel and proclaim it. We have such freedom to do so in this country. We ought to do so with great zeal and urgency, knowing Your promises, even of the salvation that You will bring about amongst the Jews and the Gentiles, and that's still yet to come. And so, Father, spur us on to a great passion and zeal to tell people of Jesus Christ, and that He lived a perfect, righteous life and died a perfect, sacrificial, atoning death on the cross for our sins. That He was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, all to give us, Your children, life, Your elect, Your people who love You. And yet, Father, we have, as we've been contemplating the last few weeks, we are a people who have sinned against You. We have broken Your commandments, and we need Your Holy Spirit to remind us and call us to obey the Word and hear Your Word. And so, Father, fill us with Your Spirit. Give us the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us, that You would work in Your great power and sanctifying power to cleanse us of our sin And if there be any here who do not know you, that you would turn them unto yourself, and that this would be the day of salvation for them. Even children, even adults who are amongst us, Father, we ask that you would make this the day of salvation, and that you would pour out your mercy and your grace upon your people and your church, of which we are, again, wholly undeserving of. We deserve the pains of hell forever, but you are a merciful and gracious God, and so we plead with you to be merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Be who you promise you are and who you say you are. And Father, we ask that you would help us in our souls, many which are anxious and struggling with fear of things of this world and sin that we have found in ourselves, we struggle with, even some habitually. Father, forgive us of our sin and turn us unto you. Make us to be a repentant people, a people who hates sin and loves righteousness, because we love your Son, Jesus Christ, and we love you, Father, and we love your Holy Spirit, and we do not desire at all to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for those who are not feeling well, who have not felt well in our congregation, and the congregations of which we represent here gathered. We ask that you would heal their bodies. We ask that you would watch over them and care for them and strengthen them to serve you, as we pray for all of ourselves, that we would serve you for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray for our government, that you would save them from their sins, even the kings and rulers in authority, as you call us to pray in 1 Timothy 2. We ask that you would turn them from themselves and their own pleasures and their desires, and turn them to your Son, and cause them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For that is what they must do and will do at some point, as you promise in Psalm 2. And so, Father, cause them to bow the knee, and that they would rule according to your word and your law, and they would love you, and they would turn this nation and call the nation of this nation to worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of the Bible alone, and the worship according to your ways. And Father, we pray that you would sustain us in our worship of you and the worship that you provide for us. We ask that you would give us hearts that are pure and humble, as we heard this morning, and yet bold for the truth and for your worship and for your commandments. Father, help us in all these things, for we are weak, but you are strong. Not only in our bodies, but in our souls. You are strong. And so help us, Father, and cleanse us of our sin as we've prayed. We pray for the churches of our denomination, that you would uphold them in this time, that you would call them to worship you and not close their doors. We ask that you would bring about pastors for those who are without pastors, and that you would have that come about soon, even in the midst, perhaps, of this pestilence that we go through. Father, uphold your people. Uphold your bride, the bride of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.